hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 96, Windows Server 2012 R2 Chit Chat. Here we go. Today, my guest is Mike Ressler, and I know I'm not saying it, Mike, correctly, but how you doing today?
I'm doing great, and you actually were saying it not bad. That's Mike Ressler, so you're pretty close to it.
Oh, okay. Well, every now and then, you put a lot more throat in it, you know, and kind of over-accentuate it, but I do my best. So, Mike, you and I are co-workers here at Veeam. You're on the product strategy team with me, but you know, you're a pretty well-known guy, but go ahead and introduce yourself so that the listeners get a sense of who you are.
All right, thanks. So my name is Mike Ressler, as Rick already said quite well. I am the Microsoft product strategist for Veeam. So we are indeed working together in one team, Rick and me, but I'm more the counterpart of Chris Hanley, which I'm pretty sure most of you will know as well. I am an MVP for cloud and data center management, and my specialties, if you can call it like that, are more around Hyper-V, Windows Server, System Center, those kind of technologies. But of course, otherwise I wouldn't probably work for Veeam. My biggest love, for some maybe hate, but for me big love, is everything that has to do with disaster recovery, with data protection, with recoveries, things like that. So that's a bit, in a nutshell, who I am.
Well, that's great. I I do enjoy working with you. It's been about, almost
a year.
Yeah. Really close to that. I think you started in February, was it? Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Cool. I think we can celebrate together in a couple of weeks.
So it's pretty much like you've been here about 3 years. So we moved pretty fast here, and it's kind of crazy, but that's the way we like it, I see. So the topic today is Windows Server 2012 R2. Now, side note, free plug for those of you who may be thinking about Windows Server 2012 R2. Mike just did a great training video over at our Backup Academy site. And again, it's not a Veeam commercial over there. It's really pure training on the product, in this case, Windows Server 2012 R2. If you're familiar with Windows, this video that he made, as well as the accompanying blog post, is a great way for you guys to kind of come up to speed on the latest version of Windows. But, Windows Server, that is. But, Mike, you know, in your own opinion, how would you describe 2012 R2?
When I first heard about 2012 R2, I was more or less thinking about, all right, so 2012 just arrived. They're already talking about R2. So instead of having, you know, big news, this will be more like a service pack including a few small enhancements that they made, like requests from the users that they would like to see in Windows Server 2012. After all, when they came out with 2012, it was a huge change compared to 2008 R2 or any other previous version. But instead of, you know, just being a few hot fixes, some bug fixes, maybe a few extras, they increased that product a lot again. So instead of having just a few fixes, they made improvements to all existing new features, and they added a lot more features again. So even though it's about, I think it was 1 year and a bit between Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2, It is a huge improvement. So everybody who is still not running 2012 today is still running 2008 R2, they should consider moving to R2 immediately, because the enhancements are huge compared to 2012, again, even after 1 year and a bit, and are certainly worthwhile looking at. It can improve your life as an IT administrator a lot.
And I agree with that, Mike. I think that it was a big change, and, you know, I've been there before. I used 2003, and then when 2008 came out, I was a little bit thrown back, and then 2012 came out, I was like, where's my start menu? Little things. But once you make yourself use these products somewhat aggressively, I'll go for that. But in my, you know, role, what I do here, I kind of have to be latest and greatest, and you do too. And I have to say, I've been using 2012, and I kind of still prefer 2008 R2, but then 2012 R2, I prefer already to 2012 base release, and little things like there is a proper start menu. Sounds crazy, but it's not exactly the same, but it's a lot easier to navigate. And then the improved storage features, right? That's
where it
really starts to make sense. Just going through some of them here, the iSCSI target server. That's now made pretty easy, right? What had to happen before? You had to get Windows Storage Server, kind of a, you know, a sideways different build of Windows, but now it's built right in. I believe it's a role. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And not only that, they made more improvements to work together with the System Center suite as well, which was a big ask from a lot of people around the world. And, you know, they just built it in and they said, here you go. Now you can manage it like a fabric, like a true cloud. And those are those little things that become very, very handy for many people. So there are some huge improvements. But I think the biggest improvement is actually the way you have to manage it. And that, at the same time, is also the biggest disadvantage, I think, of the new operating system. The reason why I say improvement and disadvantage is because us as IT administrators, we have to rethink the whole way how we do our administration. You just said it yourself, you know, the first there wasn't a start menu. Now we kind of have the same start menu. We can, you know, work. We have to get used to it. But with 2012 R2, the meaning of the operating system is to be managed remotely. Everything. No more remote desktop to the operating system. Doing everything from that server manager. Bringing together a lot of servers into groups and manage them all together. And when I talk to people, when I look at IT administrators that are looking into the new features of the operating system, this is what they find the most difficult to start with, to get used to manage that operating system. So, if we're talking about Windows Server 2012, the first thing I always say, guys, there are a few things you really have to learn. Learn to work with Server Manager and think PowerShell. And there is one of the biggest improvements.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do PowerShell. I'll meet you halfway. I'll go Server Manager.
All right. Okay, cool.
I've tried, you know. In fact, you know, just what I do here in Veeam, just as an example, one of the things I've come to fancy recently is running Windows Server 2012 R2 deduplicated volumes, right?
Oh,
it's a great use case for data profiles that include backups. And if you throw Veeam backups on there, great. But honestly, the way that volume level dedupe, you can mix different backups as well. So, you know, if you've got a physical system that can write backups to disk, go ahead and throw that on there alongside the Veeam backups. That's what I do in some of our demo environments, and I use Windows Server 2012 dedupe. But the way I string up my demos is I have my console over here and the storage over there. I actually use Server Manager to look at the deduplicated volume, and so, like in this example, I'm looking at it right now. Remotely, I'm getting 56% dedupe savings. Additionally, from Veeam's dedupe, the only trick is, of course, we don't compress. We land uncompressed, and then the volume will take it away from there. But the reality is, if you find a benefit you want, in my case, it's the file and storage services information. Server Manager remotely is great for that. So you have to almost anti-lazy yourself. That little step of remote desktop in, then go into Server Manager and get what you want. If you just take the time, add that server, you'll get there. But I had to do it to solve a specific problem. That's how I did it. But the PowerShell, not so much. Not for me.
Well, I hear that a lot, people say, you know, I'm going to skip the PowerShell. We'll see. We have some other people. But in my opinion, it's going to be more important with every edition of Windows Server. But not only with Windows Server, you see that for every product that Microsoft is launching, there's more and more PowerShell support. We ourselves are having PowerShell support as well. Even the big competition, VMware, has PowerShell support. So I'm seeing a lot of future in that PowerShell. But, you know, as you say, as long as you don't have to use it too much, you can do everything with Server Manager. From the moment you want to start automating things, you're probably going to have to start learning a bit of PowerShell.
You know, I go in PowerShell to one of two reasons. To fix something that somebody else wrote a script for, or lazy admin kicks in, and if I have to do a lot. Best example is when I used to be an Exchange admin. When I had more than two users to add, I dropped it into PowerShell, Exchange's PowerShell implementation, right? You know, little trick, you know, if you want to get crafty in PowerShell, one of my biggest fears, and this is why I didn't go down the PowerShell route, is I was afraid of what would happen if the script could go wrong, right? Now, chances are I should have a development environment. Chances are I should maybe use options to not actually run these scripts, but just test it. But still, my safeguards would always kick in. But nowadays, you know, if you're using a virtual lab with virtual machines, you can go into scripting with confidence. Now, I say that not having done it, but I know that you can use a virtual lab to test those crazy scripts that hit the domain controller, hit your application server, hit your database or Exchange, etc. You know, when everything's connected and you make these very complicated scripts that do potentially destructive things, you kind of need to go into it with confidence. So there's a plus one for the virtual lab in case you guys need kind of some confidence boost. I think that the virtual lab's a great way to do that with PowerShell.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly one example where you can use very well the virtual labs for. That's more than a fact. And, you know, there are some big improvements into Windows PowerShell in 2012 R2. We're now at version 4. There are some enhancements to the integrated scripting environment, to the debugging, a lot of bug fixes. We've got something called PowerShell Desired State Configuration now, which is kind of a way of continuously testing your servers if they're still in the desired configuration that you want. And from the moment they're, you know, off that configuration, PowerShell can fix that. Certainly Config Manager administrators, System Center Configuration Manager, will kind of know this from previous version of Configuration Manager and can tell you that this is very handy. But, you know, again, some improvements that we see in R2.
Yeah, and I think another improvement, and actually I didn't even notice it, but I'm using it in one of our lab environments here in the SSA lab. We're using the the new PowerShell capable Windows deployment services. Now, Windows deployment services isn't new, but it's new to me, so we'll talk about it. Now, a lot of times, right, when that first came out, I don't know if you remember when WDS first came out. I looked at it. I think it was in, might have even been a 2003 era. But it was really complicated. It's not complicated anymore. And it is actually pretty slick. So now, basically, if I need to deploy, we've actually determined in our lab here, it's easier to use Windows deployment services and build a new VM rather than use templates and libraries. So think of it that way. That's how easy to use Windows deployment services is now. So if you've thought about Windows deployment services, you know, this is for lab environments. This is, you know, might be materially different than what, you know, production capacities might need. But in the lab, we're not using templates now. We're actually deploying everything new build through WDS.
Yeah, I think I agree on that one. And even if you don't have a large production environment, WDS can be more than sufficient for your environment, and it's free, it's included in the server system. The downside of WDS compared to, for example, Configuration Manager, or if you're fully virtual with Virtual Machine Manager and templates and libraries and things like that, is the logging and the reporting. With WDS, this is kind of limited. But, you know, if you're not deploying 5 servers every week, then the question is, do you really need all these reports? Do you really need all that logging? Or can you just, you know, handle this with a little change request in your ticketing system where you have then some reporting? So sometimes it's good to look at the free things or the things that are already included within the operating system. Yes, it does have a little less features compared to the bigger commercial products. But on the other hand, in most cases, for many companies, they will be more than enough, and those additional features will not be necessary. WDS, in my experience, is one of those. When I was a consultant within the system center area, I had to go a lot to customers asking me, look, we want to deploy Configuration Manager. And we were talking about 50 desktops, 20 laptops, and 10 servers. WDS was perfect for that. Mm-hmm. So I talked them into, forget about Config Manager, don't spend that money on it, but, you know, look at WDS and look what you can do with it. Write a change request, done, you've got your reporting.
Yeah, and now with, you know, it's pretty slick in Windows, you know, I would imagine if you look in one of the logs, event log, application log, you would have the deployment there. So, you know, for that accountability for some people, and, you know, I guess everybody needs a way to troubleshoot things, but I got to imagine that with a little bit of digging around, you can find what's going on. And in today's fully connected world, the server manager, back to that, you could, from your desktop, you know, connect in remotely to the WDS server and have what you need. So, you know, this is a really powerful platform, and, you know, wherever your needs are, very small, very large, I think 2012 R2 definitely has the legs for it.
Oh, yeah, certainly, yeah.
You know, side note, if you would have talked to me, I don't know, let's just say in the 2003 era, you know, especially 2008, you know, those the Windows installer option to do an upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like I saw that come out. I'm like, I don't know. So given that I'm in the backup business, I said, you know what? What could go wrong? So I did a backup of my Windows Server 2012 base system. This is part of one of my, you know, it's my production demo system, if that makes any sense. But to me, in my virtualization practice today, VBAR 7.1, which is its name, that guy is a production system to me. Well, anyways, it was running 2012 base release. And in Veeam Talk, I was waiting for our patch 2 to have full server 2012 R2 support, and that came out. Now, I have techniques to move Veeam stuff around, but I wanted to try the Windows in-place upgrade option. So if you have the server 2012 R2 CD, there is an option to do a new install, which is what I've always done back in the day. Or you can do an upgrade. And I actually wrote a personal blog post on this. In the podcast notes, I'm going to put a link to this. Let me find it. Rick Vanover, Windows Upgrade 2012 R2. Anyways, I want to read the text exactly. But basically, with that process, the CD for 2012 R2 will simply give you the option, do you want to upgrade Windows and keep files, settings, and applications? Ladies and gentlemen, it works. I actually did that, and, you know, there was a time in my life that I would never do that type of thing. I would always do a new build, move configuration, move data. But it probably worked well before, but I just, you know, I didn't take that confidence booster step. You know, sometimes it may be easier to deploy a new system, but, you know, if you have some, Mike, have you ever done that actual upgrade process? It literally just works.
Actually, yeah, for each new release of Windows Server, we try both. We do the new install, see how much we can migrate and things like that, get to learn the system, how we need to do it. But we also do the upgrade. You know, when people ask me for advice, what should I do? Build a new parallel system, bring everything over, or do an actual upgrade. So I will always advise, and I still do that today, to make sure that you have a backup. Whatever happens, you can go back. Because, yes, the system has been improved a lot, and I have to admit that as of today, I haven't had a single upgrade from 2012 to R2 that failed. However, I am always still taking a backup, and I prefer, certainly for production service, first to test out. How can you do that? Well, you know, if it's a virtual machine, you can take an export, which you can do live now. You don't have to bring your server down anymore. Bring it somewhere separately, bring it up, try it out. Use virtual apps of us. Bring it up, try it out. You have the procedure, see if it works. Let it run for a couple of days. All those things can be tested today. And certainly, if it's a virtual server, it is so easy to do that little effort of testing out and not getting into troubles. So that advice still stands. Again, I haven't had a failure as of today, but you never know. And you might run some legacy software on that server which hasn't been tested during upgrades, and there you have it.
And you know, that's a good point. I think that that fear, that kind of aversion that I had before, was knowing that if it went really wrong, I would be at the mercy of my bare metal restore back in the day, you know, and whatever the product was, that was just a little, you know, unsettling. But in this era with, you know, images and the way to use the virtualization platforms, Hyper-V or VMware, you really can go into it with confidence between the virtual lab, image-based backups, everything. I think that you know, we're in good shape today. So, no, that's good stuff, Mike. We do keep it pretty light and conversational here in the podcast, but I do have a gimmick. And since this is your first time on the podcast,
yeah,
I've got three trick questions for you.
Basically,
this is kind of a look into the past, present, and future, according to you. And I call it three views from you. So okay. I'm going to ask you three questions, just open-ended questions about your technology and professional experience, and basically this is a great way for people to get to know you a little bit. So my first question is set into the past. So Mike, in your professional and technology experience, what's the most interesting story or thing you've ever done?
Well, most interesting, unfortunately, was a disaster. But it was still interesting. That was, you know how much bad luck a person can have? So imagine you have a Exchange server running, a small company, where I was one of the administrators, and the Exchange server was running, and one drive of the RAID 5 system broke down, right? So by the time I arrived at the office, because it was in the middle of night, a second drive broke down of that RAID 5. So basically, I was lost. My data was gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So, but, you know, I'm a guy that's confident of myself and said, yeah, that's no problem. I'll just call the backup team. So I called the backup team and asked them, hey, guys, I need the backups of, the Exchange server, probably the ones from last night, which is a couple of hours ago. That means my loss will be minimum. So couple of hours later, they finally confessed that they didn't have no more backups in 6 months because there was an issue with the backup software they were using, and I'm not going to call them by name, but the agent didn't work anymore because we did an upgrade and there was no support, and blah, 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 blah. But they failed to mention that to us. Now, that means that our last good backup was 6 months old. Actually, we weren't 100% sure because it was taken with a previous version and so on and so on. So, here I was with 5 disks, 2 of them broken, and a company that was relying at that time heavily on email. Email was everything. It was their file system, it was their archive, it was everything. Mm-hmm. So I sent that to a company I found in Paris. Now, I am from Belgium. I live close to Antwerp, but also pretty close to Brussels. We are a small company, but still, driving is about 4.5 hours from my side to Paris. So I drove to that company, which had a 24/7 service, arrived there, and at the time my drives came out of a Dell PERC RAID system. So I gave them my drives, and they all had this own built RAID controllers. And they succeed in rebuilding every bit of data on those drives within 24 hours. So here I am, very happy, back in my car with a simple USB device full of data. Now, what I didn't know was when I drove back, very happy, called the IT manager, no problem, I'm restarting the Exchange server as soon as the database has been copied over. But what they actually succeeded in was getting all those mails, indeed, they had those, but they were all in MSG format on that device. Which meant I had to import a couple of million emails.
So did you get friendly with XMerge?
Very friendly.
Wow. That's an interesting story, though. That's a good forensic recovery.
Oh, yeah. That company that did it, it was expensive, but they were good.
It should be, and it should be. Wow, that's awesome.
They were good. Well, you know, I learned my lesson, and since then I am always certain that I have good backups of Exchange, that I have different copies everywhere, 3-2-1 rule, you know. I've learned my lesson after 5 days of working nonstop.
Well, you know, everyone has a story about, like, I like to say everyone has a story of why they don't like tape, everyone has a hard drive failure story that will forever change how they do backups, and that's yours.
Oh, yeah. That's mine indeed.
How about right now? What's going on that you have the most passion for technology-wise?
Wow. So there is a lot of nice technology being developed, being out there already now, but, you know, they are in the first or second generation, and you know good stuff is coming up. But from the Microsoft side, because that is actually what I follow the most, of course, I am really looking forward to more integration into the Windows Azure Pack, which is kind of Microsoft Azure's large cloud solution that you can bring to your own company, to a service provider, things like that, which has some great web pages and interfaces where you as an end user can do stuff, taking stuff away from IT administrators while they stay keeping control. So while I still think that cloud is just a marketing word, what I see being developed, and it's not only Microsoft, it's the other companies as well, what we see being developed to talk to that specific story is, I think, beautiful technology. A lot of self-service, a lot of automation, flexibility, growing, getting smaller, things like that. I think this is a great time to follow that. That together with the fact that we now can work from anywhere with whatever device. I love it. I used to travel a lot for a shipping company where we did IT on board of ships, mm-hmm. which meant that we were a lot of hotels and airports and on board of ships that, you know, only had satellite connections, so not really internet over there. And that meant that after 3 weeks coming back, I had a pile of emails that I had to start working. But now, today, working for Veeam, I'm not even joined to the Veeam domain. I have my email everywhere. I can talk to you guys through Skype or through WebEx. We have great sessions that we do for the community through different media, all straight from behind my PC, wherever I am. I can be in an airport. I like this world. I really like working like that, being independent wherever I am and still being able to be very productive. So I'm excited about many things, actually. But, you know, if I really have to choose something, then I think it's within the server world how you can see those cloud vision that we've been talking about for years is always getting more and more possible.
How about into the future? What do you see, you know, longer term becoming an area of technology that you're most excited for or looking forward to into the future?
Well, of course, straight from my job, disaster recovery, backup, those kind of things will always be in my mind, and I will be looking at that. I think, you know, the traditional backup, as we know it from the physical world, I think we can agree this is slowly, but it's going away. And then we have the new way, the modern data protection, as we know today with virtualization, which is running great, gives us a lot of new options. And I think then we're going to see in the future combination of different technologies. Snapshot technology on the hardware level, replication, general backup, long-term, short-term, all these things I think are going to come together into one easier system to use to make sure that those, you know, this disaster recovery plans, all that work is going to be much more easable at a lower cost for the enterprise. Because in the end, that is what they're doing. They're paying money for something which everybody hopes they're never going to use.
Sure.
And I think in the future, we're going to see those things all coming together into some great new technology. Second thing which I'm really excited about and which you can see coming slowly already today is everything which has to do with management. Because if you look now today at the world, you see the possibilities to deploy a virtual machine or a server with one single click, a simple PowerShell, or maybe one click to Service Manager, and here you go, you have a role deployed. But then you know, it's into production. It needs to be managed. And I think there's still huge improvement possibilities for many companies, for technology companies, to develop new stuff and to invest in those kind of areas.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Mike, great insight into you right there, and then also the larger discussion that we had on Windows Server 2012. For the listeners, you can follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Ressler, and he also blogs on the System Center User Group for Belgium at scug.be/Mike. I'm going to put notes to both of those on the podcast notes, and you also can find Mike on the Veeam blog. Well, hey, Mike, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us here today.
My pleasure.